Through this month, we're doing a series, and Pastor Rod chose this, and this is his little icon that he's put on there for everyone. And the first one, that little one in the corner, spelt near, N-E-A-R. I also have to apologize to the people on the screen. I got so used to the people in the congregation when we started that live streaming, I used to miss them and look around for people here. Now I'm looking at you and I'm forgetting about them over there. So would you help me say, look out there too? So I'm going to share with you this morning, near. God was near. God was with Joseph. We don't hear very much about Joseph in the scriptures. There's very little about him. Our focus this Christmas is on Emmanuel. God is near. How many of us here this morning felt, how many of you out there this morning felt the nearness of God through this time? Don't be ashamed to put your hand up. Yeah. Yeah. I think we those of us who have been saying, why, Lord? He said, I'm right here. Emmanuel, God is with us. And for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, He's there. He's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. Our focus today is on the nearness of God. And in this case, the nearness of God to Joseph, who went through a very difficult time. Emmanuel, God with Joseph. Only three Gospels make references to Joseph as Jesus' legal father. Joseph is mentioned in the accounts of the birth, of his birth, or the birth of Jesus. He's also mentioned in the flight to Egypt. That was the first flight ever to Egypt. And their return to Bethlehem. So they had a return flight too. There's no record of Joseph's death in Scripture. When Jesus was 12 years old, the family visited the temple, and Jesus was with them, and so was Joseph. Joseph is repeatedly mentioned in Luke's gospel, especially about the temple, when Jesus was there at the temple in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. It's assumed that when Jesus was somewhere between the age, it's only an assumption, between the ages of 12 and 30, that Joseph must have died, because Jesus commenced his ministry at 30, and there's no reference to Joseph after that. Joseph was not around, we don't read of it, not recorded, when Jesus entered his public ministry. Only Mary is mentioned on certain occasions during Jesus' ministry. Let's look at some facts about this earthly family, the earthly family of Jesus. The reason why I'm saying that is we need to make a distinction that Jesus wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God in human flesh. And so it's important for us to remember these facts. And that's why I'm calling them the earthly family of Jesus. His parents were named? Very good. Joseph was the legal husband of Mary, but not the biological father of Jesus. And that's important. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brad just read that for us. And in verse 25 of that same chapter, we read, but he did not have sexual relationship with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. John refers to Jesus as the carpenter's son. John records that in his gospel, that Jesus is the carpenter's son. Matthew lists 27 generations from David to Joseph in his genealogy in chapter 1. But Luke lists 42 generations with almost no overlap between the names of the two lists. that he's got in Luke's gospel. And so it's important for us to remember that Joseph was in the lineage of the preparation by God for the coming of his son. I've often thought about this over the years. Out of all the generations, past, present, and future, God couldn't find anyone suitable for his son but Mary and Joseph. It's amazing. So there must be something special about that couple. Don't you reckon? Yep. And Joseph's ancestors were of the house and the lineage of David. In Matthew 1:20, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. But Joseph's ancestors are listed also in Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17, Luke chapter 3, verse 2. From Nazareth to Galilee. Joseph was born in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. That's why Jesus went back there. Remember, they had to go back there to register. And when they went to register, Jesus was born there. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus. God assigned Joseph to raise his one and only son, the Son of God. Now, just imagine this. How many of you would entrust your newborn baby to someone to look after? And one father says no. That's right. Actually, Joseph's experiences in those few short verses that we discovered, I found three things there in those verses, especially in Matthew's gospel. Joseph faced a moral dilemma. Just think about this man. Men, you just think about it. In those days, when someone was engaged, it was a promise made. By the way, they didn't go and choose who they want to marry. The parents did all that first. Parents, you listening? Something you may want to consider. Parents did something first, then the couple were brought together, and after they had pledged themselves together with what they called an engagement, it was as binding as a marriage in those days. And that's why he found it hard when he discovered that Mary was pregnant. So he had a moral dilemma there. We'll look at that a little closer. He also had a marvelous dream. I would have loved to have a dream like that, not in that situation, but circumstance, but a marvelous dream of an angel coming to speak to me. I'd love to have that one day. But he also had a matrimonial drama, because after he took Mary to be his wife, you could imagine every time they went to the market, everybody has... So, poor Joseph, you just have to consider what a difficult situation he must have found himself in. But God selected Joseph out of all the men in the world to be the legal father, earthly father of Jesus. Joseph had every right to feel suspicious, right? He had every right to have doubts. He had every right to feel disgraced by the situation. But when the angel spoke to him, he said, "Nothing's going to stop me from honoring God." That says something about the man. He knew the child Mary was pregnant with was not his own. Full stop. He must have felt the social stigma from the community around him. He could have rightfully accused Mary of unfaithfulness. Under the Old Testament law, Joseph had the right to divorce Mary. That's why he decided to do that anyway when he found out. That was his next step before the angel spoke to him. Under the Old Testament law, Mary could have been stoned to death for what she did. But Joseph Joseph was not going to have anything of that happen to her. Wonderful man, don't you reckon? Joseph, I want to say, but Joseph was a righteous man. That's the difference. He was a righteous man. Although Joseph's initial reaction was to break off the engagement, the proper thing of a righteous man to do was to say, what, God, do you want me to do? And that's a good lesson for all of us. In circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in today, we need to keep asking ourselves, God, what would you want me to do in this situation? Rather than, what should I do about it? What would you want me to do? His conduct towards Mary revealed that he was a kind and sensitive man. I could picture what a loving couple they must have been. Don't you reckon? Yeah, we sing all the carols, we watch the manger scenes, but we never consider what happened so dramatically during those days. But we can because of the record that we have. Joseph treated Mary with tremendous kindness. I can't imagine how Mary made that trip from all the way to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey when she was expecting that child any minute. Mothers, moms, what would you have done? But I could imagine her leaning on Joseph all the way and Joseph rubbing her back and saying, she'll be right. Let's stop for a little while. Let's have a little drink. I'm sure Joseph looked after her with tender kindness. He did not want to cause her any further shame. So he decided to proceed very quietly and do everything silently so that God could be honored through his life. God was near Joseph at all times. And as God's people today, we need to remember that God is with us today. Emmanuel. Every time you sing those words, every time you hear those words, remember, God is with you. No amens today. You've lost out. He sent his angel to visit Joseph to authenticate Mary's story. Joseph, Mary is correct, for what is conceived within her is of the Holy Spirit. And it reassured Joseph. God, if you are saying this through your servant, the angel, then I will marry Mary. And this will be your perfect will for the coming of your son into this world as predicted and prophesied by the prophets of old. Joseph willingly obeyed God and took Mary and made her his wife. In spite of the public humiliation, in spite of all the gossip around him, it was a noble quality of a man of God and proves that God's choice for the Messiah's earthly father was the right one. Don't you agree? I do. After looking at this carefully and studying it, I can think, wow, couldn't have been a better choice, God, for sending Jesus into this world. The passage reveals that he was an excellent earthly example of integrity and righteousness. If you look at that story carefully, the integrity of the man was, I can't do this. She's pregnant and it's not me. He was so confident to be able to say, it's not me. So I better put her away. I better divorce her. But we know the rest of the story. And I'm glad the ending of the story is much better. Joseph would have passed on the carpentry trade to his son, Jesus, I'm sure, and raised him with love and gentleness and guidance. I'm sure he knew Proverbs that said, train up your child in the way he should go. And as the earthly father of Jesus, he wanted to be the best father. Like all fathers do, don't you? Dads? Yeah. Just ask your children. They'll say you're the best dad. I hope they do, otherwise send them to me. The best one to raise the Son of God. And he must have raised Jesus in the Jewish traditions, because that's what every Jewish father would do. He would have done that to train up Jesus in the way every Jewish boy was trained. And all the spiritual observances, that's why they took him to the temple. And what did Jesus say? I want to be about my Father's business. Dad, I want to be about my Father's business. Must have confused Joseph for a little while, but I think Joseph understood. Joseph and Mary had more children after this. Now, there's many people say it's not, no, there's only Jesus. I'm sorry. The scriptures clearly record this. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, if you want my outline, it's on the website. You can pick it up. Joseph and Mary had more children. James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and they had daughters. She had some daughters too. How many, we don't know. So, there must have been a big family. So, it wasn't only Jesus. Let's look at some things this morning. Let's look at some strengths of this man, Joseph. If God was near him, I thought while I was preparing this, I thought when Joseph was growing up as a boy, the hand of the Lord was upon him in preparation for, you know, even before we were born, God had a plan for our lives. Even before you were a twinkle in your mom's eye, God said, I got a plan for you. And that's what he must have had for Joseph. And Joseph growing up was being prepared for this. And I want to look at this man, Joseph, this morning. And I want all men to take some notes from this. Joseph was a man of strong convictions. You know, we need to be men of strong convictions. Not wishy-washy, not flopping around one way this way and then next the other way. We must know what the scriptures teach us as God's people and say as men of God, this is what the Bible says, I believe it, and that settles it, right? You don't want to answer, okay? You'll get used to it. He lived by his beliefs. Joseph lived by his convictions. He didn't only have those convictions, but it was part and parcel of his character, his nature, seen by his actions towards Mary and this situation that he was facing. He is described as a righteous man. What does that mean? It means he was living in right relationship with God, and he was living in right relationship with people. That's what it means to be righteous. And it was a challenge. It is a challenge for all of us to begin to live. And if you're not living that way, I urge you to start living that way, because that's what God expects us to do, to live righteous before him and before others. And once that happens, God can say we are a righteous man. I just pointed out the other day in a pastor's meeting, I was only studying how Jesus came into this world and humbled himself in Philippians chapter 2 as my devotions that day. And I shared with these pastors, it just humbled me when I read about Jesus. And I thought about Job, when God's testimony of Job was, can you find another man on this earth like Job? Wow. I wonder if the Lord can say that of you and me today. My prayer is that he will be able to say that. Joseph had the quality of being sensitive to someone else's need. And we need to be righteous. We need to have strong convictions like Joseph, but we need to be gentle. We need to be sensitive to other people's needs, to our family's needs. You know, fathers, when we grow up, we take our cue from our father. I told my boys, don't do what I did. Take all the good things, but change all the things that I didn't do so well, because I was learning. I had an L plate. So, dads, you got an excuse. You got an L plate after the first or second child, maybe. Then you got to go on to your P's. Very important. We need to learn. But Joseph responded to this situation obediently to the voice of God. And we need to walk before God today in obedience to Him and His word. He practiced self-control. You know, after the situation, he took Mary to be his wife, but he didn't know her. He didn't consummate the marriage till after Jesus was born. That is self-control to the highest level, I think, for any man. What a man, Joseph. He had self-control. What about us? You feel like taking that extra donut? Do you have self-control? I'm learning. He was an example of integrity. He was an example of a godly character. And you and I, today, as God's people, doesn't matter if it's only men, but I'm saying ladies too, and young people too, and everyone out there too, I must not forget about you. We need to be men and women, boys and girls of integrity, especially in the world we're living in today. And also a godly character to be seen. We need to ooze the character and the nature of Christ through us. If we say Christ is living in us, what's he doing? Sitting down there quietly? Or is he ruling us and reigning through us and changing us to be like him? That's what we should be doing. Here are some observations. I've got 5 observations and I'll close. You must be waiting for me to close. God honored Joseph's integrity by trusting him with a great responsibility. And when I wrote that, I thought to myself, please tell me, Lord, can you trust me? Can you trust me with the responsibilities you give me? I would love to hear that say, yes, I can. And that should be each one of our goals. As I observe Joseph's life, I want to be someone that God can be pleased with today. It's not easy to entrust your children to someone. Heavenly Father had to entrust his son to an earthly man. Could you imagine that? For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son and said, Joseph, look after him. Wow. God trusted Joseph with his Messiah, with the Messiah. Joseph, that's the second one. He trusted. Can God trust us with what he's given us? I hope he can say, yes, I trust you. You're my servant. You're my man. You're my woman. You're my girl. I can trust you. Joseph decided, the third one, third observation is Joseph decided to love, provide, and protect Mary and Jesus and all the other children along the way. Men, no matter what the ladies might say, it's our responsibility the way God says it. We need to love our wives. I was talking to a couple once some years ago, and the wife said, oh, Charles, you don't know the scripture. It says husbands obey your wives. I said, really? Which Bible is that in? I said, the scripture says the husband's got to love his wife. You show me a man who truly loves his wife, and his wife feels that love coming through, and I assure you that woman will do anything for him, right? What do you think, ladies? Don't be too worried because your husband is next to you. Say yes, and he'll start doing it. There you go. Love your wife, protect her, be the protector, be the provider for your family. That's what it means to be the head, not the boss, but the protector, the provider, the lover of your family. Your children should feel that love. There's nothing like a father's love. There's nothing like a father's love. My daughters, when they come to me, they, Daddy, I want to feel your hug, Daddy. Oh, it melts my heart. when they say that. But that's what every father should be to their children. Joseph was. Fourthly, my observation was Joseph walked obediently before God. He just obeyed God implicitly. And he took Mary. He looked after Mary and Jesus. Despite all the humiliation of the community, despite all the disgrace from other men that he moved with, he said, I will obey you, Lord, no matter what. No matter what it costs me, I will obey you. Are we men and women like that? To obey God implicitly, regardless of what anyone thinks or feels about us? And finally, when we obey God, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of public shame, he leads us and guides us. Joseph realized he was not responsible to anyone, to give an account to anyone for the way he lived his life, but he knew he had to give an account one day of the way. We too have to give an account of the way we live today. Because God has a standard and he's got an expectation of each one of us. And we need to rise up this morning and say, Lord, if Joseph can do that, I can. Amen. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this man, Joseph. God, you were near him, even through this adversity, this difficulty that he faced. But he was a righteous man in your sight. He was the only man that you were able to choose to send your one and only son into this world through, to be the legal earthly father for the Messiah. Thank you for him, Lord. As an example to us men today, I pray that we will just take a page off his book and appropriate that to our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to each one of us today so that we may hear your voice and do your will, just as Joseph did, and then know for certainty that God is with us. We pray in your holy name. Amen.